Okay, so the story of the egg picks up in Periklum and Ben. And, you know, it's surprising how fast everything unravels. Vayaram kiboshesh Moshe v'arevet min ha'ar v'akelam al ha'arom v'yimroi lav kol ma'aseilanu Elohim asher l'chul l'faneinu kizem Moshe yish asher aleinu meret mitzrayim l'yordanu v'ayelo. So in what is must be one of the strangest psukim in the Torah, so the Jews see that Moshe delays, and then they say to Aaron a sentence which is, I mean, it's basically incoherent, which is, come and let us make an Elohim, which simplest understanding is a God, who will lead us, because, and people miss this, Kizem Moshe Ish, Asher Elohim Eretz Mitzrayim, because Moshe, the man, we don't know what happened to him, which is very odd. Right? Meaning, they tell you that the reason they need an Elohim is because they lost a man. Right? Which doesn't make any sense, right? Right? What exactly is their argument? So you have really three ways of taking this. Right? One is to say that the ego really is a god. And they need it to replace Moshe, because in some way they deified Moshe. And Moshe isn't just a person, he's a demigod. Now, even though they call him Moshe Ha'ish, the next words are Sher Ha'alonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. He took us out of Egypt, right? Which is a just term normally meant for God. So it could be that they're saying, look, right, that's what I'm saying, right? So he's sort of a man, but he's really God, right? It's make us an Elohim, make us a God-like thing, because we've lost our demigod, who, yeah, he was a man, but he took us out of Egypt. That's one possibility, and that would go with the commentaries who think that this is really idolatry. You could go in the Kuzari direction, which is to say this isn't a god at all. They just want an intermediate between them and God. And the point is, make us an Elohim, which really means a leader, because we've lost our leader. The third possibility is to sort of mix and match, which is to say, look, we get it that Moshe is a man, but we thought that Moshe could handle being an intermediate between us and God. But apparently that's not true, because Moshe is dead, right? Moshe is gone. So if we can't have a successful conduit to God, then our only alternative is to make a god.
The second possibility.
Was there any like, yeah?
Yeah, something just occurred to me. What if they're saying, make us this thing because the man failed us?
Well, that's my third possibility. So that's my third possibility. That's my third possibility. My third one is to say, right, is to mix and match, and say, which is to say, no, Moshe Ha'ish failed because we thought he was a man could speak to God. It apparently isn't true, because he went up to heaven and, you know, he's gone. So make us an Elohim, right? Make us a God. Yeah, right? I mean, human beings failed, right? So those are the three possibilities, right? One is, make us a god because Moshe is a demigod and we've lost him, or make us a leader because Moshe, our leader, is gone, or we thought we could suffice with a human leader, but that was wrong. So we're moving on, make us a god. Whichever one happens, right, so then you get this bizarre scene where Aaron says, sure, right, get me all the gold, and Rashi suggests that he's trying to delay them. And then in a bizarre comment, right, which is very unclear, he says, look, tomorrow we'll have a Chag LaHashem, which is not clear, meaning is he saying that the ego is Hashem, or is he, as Rashi says, no, he's saying, really, it'll be God tomorrow. I mean, he's trying to stall them, because by the time Moshe comes back, they will abandon the ego, and it really will be for God, proper name, God.
Which day is Yom Kippur?
So Yom Kippur is not here. It's at the end of the 40, the next 40 days.
The next one.
Right.
So this is not the holiday.
Correct.
It's Rosh Chodesh Elul.
Correct. Okay. So now you skip to Pasuk 7, though. I want to focus on is really Moshe's defense. So, Vayidaber Adonai Moshe, Lech Reik Yishechet Amcha Asher Alita Me'eretz Mitzrayim. You get an extremely biting comment by God. God says, look, go down, because your nation, not my nation, right? Your children, not my kid, right? Your son has acted up. But then, in even more biting irony, what does he say? How does he describe the Jewish people? Hasher he'elita me'eretz Mitzrayim, right? Which is what they had said about Moshe. Right? They had said, Moshe's dead, and he took us out of Egypt. So God says, your nation, who you took out of Egypt, you know, he's just quoting them, you know? They think it was you, not me. Well, if they think it was you, Moshe, and not me, God, then fine, your problem, not mine. Right? It's a very, very, very mida keneged mida biting comment by God. He says, look, go down. Saru maher min haderech asher tzivitim. They have strayed very fast from the path. And they have made a molten calf. And they bowed and they sacrificed to it. And they've said, this is your God, O Israel, who took you out of Egypt. Which is the irony. Right? The whole irony there. Right? God is clearly saying, look, there were two beings involved in taking the Jews out of Egypt. And that was me and you. But they've replaced it with you and Egel. Right? With you and Egel instead of me. If that's what they've done, I am out of the... They want me out of the picture, then I'm out of the picture. Right? That is like the undertone of God's thing. And now, in what is it, the amazing moment here, right? What happens next? And if you, without looking in a chumash, because everyone gets it wrong. Right? What happens next? What do you think happens next? Okay. Right? Tell me tell me the mistake, and then we'll correct it, right? What is the mistake here? Well, that's much later, right? But what does Moshe do at that point? He hasn't gone down yet. He's still talking to God. What does he do right now? That's what everyone thinks. But it's not true. Because the next pasuk is, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. God speaks again, right? Now, there's a problem. Because, you think about it in a book, whenever you have, he said, right, you would never have that, right? Jack spoke, Jill spoke, Jack spoke, Jill spoke. You don't have Jack spoke, Jack spoke. Why would you ever have Jack spoke, Jack spoke? Why would you ever do that? Which is, right, here's Scott. Good, what's the break?
A dialogue.
Good, there's no dialogue. So what must there be? Why does God have to talk again?
There's no reaction.
Or in other words, there is a reaction. What's the reaction? Silence. Yeah, he's in shock. Silence. Right? Why is he in silence? Why doesn't he say anything such that God has to talk again? Exactly. There's nothing to say. Right? God is right. They have given up on God. They've replaced him with an angel. What exactly is Moshe supposed to say? So he speaks again. And now, listen carefully to this pasuk and figure out, right now we know Moshe is going to defend the Jews. Why does he defend the Jews only after God speaks the second time? Vayomer Adonai Moshe. Ra'iti Am Hazeh B'Neam Sheherefu. I've seen these people and they are stubborn. Va'ata Hanichali. Ve'ichar Abi Ba'em Machalim Esetcha L'Goy Gadol.
Oh, because they lost faith. Everything about was losing faith in Moshe. And now that it's going back to Moshe's leadership.
So there's even something I think more direct. This is something I heard first from Ray Foreman, but it's obviously right. Right? What does he say? God says something incredible, at which point Moshe talks. Next, after that, two words. Hanichali, leave me alone. Correct, but now if we just follow it in shot, right? Let's think for a moment. Two psukim ago, Moshe did leave him alone.
Right.
He was quiet. Or he was silent. And then God starts talking again and says, leave me alone.
So that's
I was leaving you alone. Right? God says, leave me alone so I can destroy them.
So that's like just pinpointing. Weird. And that's just not leave me alone. It's,
don't leave me alone.
It's see, leave me alone can only be understood by the...
Correct. It's leave me alone and I'll destroy them. But, right, Moshe has to be thinking that moment, wait a second, whoa. I didn't say anything the first time you talked. There was dead, shocked silence.
Well, this is like those movies where they say, the split marker, you're supposed to...
Right, well, that's exactly what it is, right? That's what Farman points out, is that God, right, if you follow the dialogue, it's God talks and says, your people are terrible. Silence. God talks again. Moshe, do me a favor, just leave me alone so I can destroy them. And God, at Moshe at that point says, wait a second. You first accused the Jewish people of Zara, and I was silent, so you should have just destroyed them. But you didn't. What did you do? You said, leave me alone, so I can destroy them. Which means that what happens if I don't leave you alone? Right? You've just opened the door.
Cueing Moshe.
Exactly. And then Moshe says, ah, wait a second. You don't want me to leave you alone, do you? Because if you wanted me to leave you alone, then you would have done it already when I was silent the first time. So you're still talking and you're telling me to leave you alone? Obviously you don't want me to leave you alone. So then Moshe says, I got it. Vayechal Moshe, Pnei Adonai Elav, Vayomer, Lav Adonai Echarav, Lav Amech, Nacher, Tzeh, 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 So then he says, and then he says something. So now, so let's just frame where we are. Moshe, his first reaction was there's nothing to say. His second reaction was God apparently thinks there is something to say. So now he has to think, okay, what do I say when there's nothing to say? And then he comes up, which at first glance, something which is the weirdest thing he possibly could have said, which is, Lama Hashem Yecharam Chamamecha. What are you so angry about? I thought that was clear, right? So obviously that can't be what he's saying. That makes no sense. Of course he knows why God's angry. So there, right? So here, this is something I've heard. I think both of my foremen. I think at some point in our elite tag, which is, right? There are two ways of saying why in Hebrew. One is Madua, and one is Lama. Madua means why in English. Lama doesn't really mean why in biblical Hebrew. It means for what purpose or to what end.
Lima.
Right, lima. Right? He doesn't say to him, right? Originally, why was Moshe silent? Because there was no defense. So now Moshe says, but apparently there is a defense, which isn't really a defense. What is that? Right? So what's going through Moshe's mind, presumably, is the first time around, is do I have a defense to justify why the Jews don't deserve to be destroyed? And the answer is, no. But maybe I can explain to God why he should save them even though they don't deserve to be destroyed. Right? Now that would be quite impressive. So what does he say to God? Aha! Not they don't deserve to be destroyed, but to what end exactly are you going to do this? Right? Why are you going to kill? For what are you going to gain from killing the Jews? And here the Ramban interjects. Right? The Ramban says that why did God take the Jewish people out of Egypt? Right? So that the world would know his name. Right? The beginning of Parsha Go. And Nechama Leibovich details this, that at least four times, no, six times in the Tanakh, the Tanakh indicates that God will often save the Jewish people when they don't deserve it because he cornered himself. Because when he took them out of Egypt, he tied up his legacy with the Jewish people. Which means that if ever he was going to destroy the Jewish people, it would look really bad for him, which he doesn't want because that wasn't the point of the world. Right? The Ramban points to Hazinu. Right? No, because you would think that, but that's what Moshe says. It's not going to work because Lama Yamru Mitzrayim Lemor Beraot Yam Laragotam Beharim Chalzav Abnei Adama. Because that's not what everyone's going to say. People aren't going to look at the details and say, "Ah, oh, they sinned." They're going to say, "God went out of his way to save his people, and then he killed them too." Right? He's just vindictive. Right? Right? That's what people are going to say. Right? People are stupid. Right? Now you would think God wouldn't care about stupid people, but it turns out...
He has nobody.
Right? Exactly. Right? But it turns out he really does. Right? The Ramban points out to Hazinu. Right? Because in Hazinu... God says... That God says, Amarti afehem. I said I would destroy the Jewish people. Ashpita me'enosh zichram. I would get rid of their memory. If what? There's one thing that holds me back from destroying the Jews. Lulei kas oyev agur. If it weren't for it, they translate the taunts of the foe. Peninat reisarenu pen yomru yodinu ramah v'lodanai pal kozo. Because the enemy is never going to say it was God. They're always going to say it's them. And therefore, it's always counterproductive for me to kill the Jewish people. And therefore, I have no choice. And I can never do that. He said, it's stupid, right? They don't know what they're talking about. Right? Because he said, look, Lu Chachmu Yeski Luzot, Yavino Lachritam, if they understood what was going on, right, they were smart, they would get it. But it doesn't matter. Right? Because God can't do that. God can't just destroy his legacy. So Moshe backs God into a corner, because the only way to corner God is to corner God in the way that God himself set himself up to be cornered. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So he says to him, look, I get it, they don't deserve it. But, too bad. You took them out of Egypt. And now what's everybody going to say? That's not why you created the world. You want people to know your legacy. Too bad. You tied your legacy up with the Jewish people. You know? Nah. Like, there's nothing you can do. Right?
So God said on Moshe, just to say that. To what end?
And then he says... so it continues. And then, first Moshe makes a second argument, which is, and... you want to destroy them, right? God has something in his back pocket, right? What does he say later on? He hasn't introduced it yet, but Moshe had it. But God has a plan, right? God has a plan. What's he going to do? He's going to replace the Jewish people with Moshe. But that doesn't really work. Why doesn't that not really work? You would say it's a really good idea, but it's really not a good idea. Why? Well, I want the next pasuk, right? Which is Zechor Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael Avodecha Asher Nishbata Lehem Ba. Right? Remember the breed of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Now you say, well, that's fine. You'll just pick Moshe. Don't work that way, because but Daber Aleihem. You told them not just that you would have a descendant who would go into Israel. What would you have? Arbe Etzarachem Kichokve Shamayim V'Chol Aretz Azod Asher Amarti Etim Zarachem Anachlu La'olam. That you would give Israel to numerous people. You know how long that's going to take if you want to start again with me? And what does God say?
Meaning going in as a nation.
Yeah, not as an individual. Right? If you want to fulfill your promise to the Avot, you either got to take the Jews in, or you got to wait till I become a nation, starting from scratch again. Right? Sure. But he clearly functions, right? Moshe's point seems to be, yeah, but that's not how things function, right? I mean, you have all the time in the world, but apparently you don't want to do that because you want me to excuse the Jews. So this is the best I got. And what does God say? Vayinachem Adonai al hara'a asher diber la'asot la'amo. That's the key word, right? Because he started it with your people. And God says, oh, you're right. My people. Shoot. Right, so to speak. Right? So then Moshe goes down, and then it gets weirder. Right? If it wasn't weird enough. Because now Moshe stands up to God and says, he defends them against the impossible. So now, what would you expect the next thing to do? To be... right, if you didn't know what was about to happen, right, what would you expect? Moshe stood up for the Jewish people, so now he's going to go down to the Jewish people, and what is he going to do? Yes, right? He apparently is willing to stand up to God for them. He apparently cares about them a lot. And then instead, what does he do? He goes and he smashes the luchot. Right? It's like two psukim ago, Moshe was defending the Jewish people. Right? And then he has this back and forth with the Yoshua. What's going on? He gets to the machaneh. Vayar ego v'chalor v'yichav. Moshe v'yishlech mi'adav. Ed aluchot v'yishaber the machanar. He smashes the luchot into a million pieces. And you look at it and you say, I don't understand. Moshe came up with a defense to defend the Jewish people against, right, when it was impossible. Apparently he likes the Jews a lot. So his reaction is therefore to be furious, smash the luchot, and then, that wasn't enough, Vayikach Egal Asher Asu Vayishrof Vayish Vayitchanesh Radak Vayazal Pnei Amayim Vayashk of Israel. He then takes the Egal, melts it down, and shoves it down the mouths of the Jewish people. And then he yells at, right, Aaron, why did you do this? And Aaron tries to defend himself. And then it gets worse, right? You skip down to Pasuk Chavav. Vayamod Moshe b'shar ha'machaneh, vayomer mil Adonai Eli, v'asroi lav kol b'nei Levi. Then Moshe says, that one, I'm not done. Right? Where are my Levi? Where, who? for God come to me against Lady Bayolem Komara the Nile Israel. Simo Ish Karbarcho Ibrubashu Mishara Sharmachaber, Ishachib, Bisharev, Ishakrovo. Go kill your relatives, kill your friends. Right? They killed 3,000 people. Moshe says, now you're blessed. Right? The story was weird enough to begin with, and then it gets weirder. Because Moshe, who apparently cared about the Jews more than anything and was willing to defend them against all odds, stand up to God, comes down the mountain, and suddenly is all fire and brimstone himself. Right? Screaming, yelling, killing, breaking the luchot. What? Why? Good. So why is that natural? Good. And let's push it even a little bit farther. Right, sorry. Again, my analysis here has been very much influenced by Reform, and he pushes it a little bit farther, and he says, it does make sense, not just because you can defend someone and be angry at them at the same time, but because, this is the mashal he gives, he said, look, let's say you have two parents, right? And one of them has a bigger temper than the other, right? Whatever, whichever way it goes, right? You can take it however, right? And their child does something legitimately wrong. Legitimately wrong. They need to be punished. They need to be told off. The father has a bigger temper. He is now fuming. And the mother sees what's about to happen. And she says, listen, honey, I'll deal with it. Right? It's not so bad. Right? He's just a kid. Right? So the father says, fine. And then what does the mother do? She goes and screams and yells at the kid. Why? Because the kid needs to be told off. But what would happen, right? If the mother would go to the kid and say, honey, it's okay, what would the father do? Explode. Right?
She can't do it because she's
going to get more out of love. Or she's going to have love, or she just is better at controlling her anger. Right? But she needs to express the anger or it won't suffice. Shai Forman says, that's what Moshe is doing. Moshe says, look, God, I get why you're angry, but you can't take your anger out of the people. Because what is your anger? Your anger translates into utter annihilation. Let me deal with it. Right? Just don't kill them. I'll deal with it. But in order for Moshe to actually still accomplish something, he needs to actually be angry. His anger is pretty bad. It leads to 3,000 people dying. Right? But it's not as bad as what God would have done, because God told you what he would have done, which was kill every single person. Right? And 3,000 is not as bad as everybody. So Moshe comes and says, look, I will defend you. That doesn't mean you didn't do something wrong, and now I'm going to do what needs to be done. After that, Moshe says, okay, fine. Now we've cleared the air a little bit. We've killed some people, whatever exactly we needed to do, right? Whatever it needs to be done. Sometimes it's harsh. Vayimi Machara, the next day, Vayom Roshalot, Atem Chaden Chatak Zoba, Vatai Aleh Hashem Vayak Rafiyah Be'an Chatat Tzar. Moshe says, okay, listen guys, what you did was really bad. I'm going to go back to God and let's see if I can figure this out. So now, right, we read these psukim so often that we forget. Right, that is actually pretty strange. What do you mean, go back to God and I'll figure this out? I already went to God. I already figured this out. We were there already. Right?
How far is it back to where we need to be?
Ah, right, and that's really the key. Right, is that we need to understand this parsha is it's not just Moshe is defending them. Moshe has a long-term goal. And Moshe's goal is, okay, slowly but surely, we're going to fix this. Step one, make sure the Jews don't get annihilated. Step two, punish the guilty people. Step three, let's start building this relationship. Because not destroying the Jewish people is not equal to the Jews and God now have a good relationship. It just means he hasn't annihilated them. So Moshe says, look, next stage, I'm going to go to God, let's see if we can figure this out and move forward. So Yashem Moshe Adonai and I by Yomer, Ana, Chata Amazek, Chata Gdala, by Hashem Lem Megalah. So he goes to God, look, I got it. They did something terrible. They really did. Vata, if Tisach Adadam, Bimayim, Chenina, Bisefach, Asher, Katav. He says, God, right now, I want you to really forgive them. If not, cut me out of your book. And God says, no deal. I'm sorry, you don't get to choose who gets erased from my book. Right? That's not how things work. You don't get to blackmail me. If I want to destroy you, I'll destroy you. I don't want to destroy you, I won't destroy you. You don't get to choose, right, and say, it's right, either destroy us all or destroy none of us. I'm not buying
it. I can see God living in what you say. You're back.
He's like, look, and that's not how this works, right? I mean, that maybe works, right? Maybe human beings it works. I have the choice to say, no, right? But I'll give you something. The first thing I was willing to do was not destroy them. You want me to give a little bit more? I'll give you more. You can go to Israel. You can go to Israel. But I ain't coming. I'm sending a Malach. Go ahead. But not me. Now there's something weird here. Right, because in Mishpatim, right? Yeah, because in Mishpatim, God said, "I love you. I'm sending Malach." Now He says, "I don't love you. I'm sending a Malach." So which is it? Is sending a Malach, "I love you," or is it, "I don't love you"? So yes. So Yoshi Farjun says the answer is yes. It depends which type of Malach. Which type of Malach did He send in Mishpatim? He says a Malach Asher. Shmi b'kirbo, a malach that represents me. And now He just says, I'm sending a malach. He says, the difference is, yeah, both times it's a malach. The first time, though, it was, God said in Mishpatim, if I love you, I'll send a malach who represents me. Now He said, I want nothing to do with you. I'll send some underling. I'll just send some bureaucrat. I mean, I don't know exactly how angels work, but I'll send low-level bureaucratic angel who doesn't represent me. You can go to Israel if you want. I'm just not coming with. But you go by the night, and He sends a plague. Or He sends another plague. Now He says, He backtracks. God says, look, you go back with your people who you took out of Egypt. Right? Right, which is backtracking. Right? Right? Didn't we establish that they're God's people? God says, look, they're enough my nation that I'm not going to kill them. But for everything else, we haven't built this relationship back. They're still your people who you took out of Egypt. I haven't forgotten what they said at the angel. So you know what? I'm willing to accept they're mine enough that I'm not killing them. But they're still yours. You still took them out of Egypt, so you want to take them as well? Go ahead. My guest. And then He invokes Moshe. You know why I'll let you do that? Because I promised the other one. You're right, I did promise. So I'll keep my promise. Go ahead. You go with them. You keep the promise. That was your defense? Go ahead. Right? That's your defense that I promised the Jews, the forefathers of the Jews, I'd send them to Israel? Go ahead. I'm giving you full reign. I'll send an angel. He'll get rid of the enemies. It'll be fine. But I ain't coming. I'm not going. Because you're stubborn. And you know what's going to happen if I come? The next time they sin, it's all over. Right? These people sin. If there's a malach there, okay, so the malach, what's he going to do? But if I'm among you and you sin, it's all over. You defended them once. It doesn't happen more than once, Moshe. So I'm not coming. That's the safest thing. And now there's the turning point in the story. The people hear this and say, this is really bad. And they start to mourn. And they take off their jewelry. And why is this the turning point in the story? Because they realized
they broke the law.
Yes. And they showed that they care. They showed that they actually care. And now, Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Emor ben Israel, Atem am Cheoref, Reged Achara, Chalev Iker Becha, V'chiz Yidicha, V'ata Reyed Yechom Yalecha, V'idah Ma'aselach. So God talks again. And He says, listen, tell the Jews that I can't come with you. because I'm going to destroy you, right? It's the same words as before, but it's a totally different tone. Before it was Moshe, they're stubborn, I want nothing to do with them, because if I come, I'll destroy them. Now he says, tell them I can't come. Right? Suddenly he wants to talk to them again. Right? Before, first he talked to Moshe and said, I want nothing to do with them. Now he says, tell them that I'm, this is for their own benefit. But then he adds something. Tell them, look, tell them to keep doing what they're doing. Keep taking off their jewelry. Keep mourning. And we'll see. Maybe things will change. But he has looking at the Amihar. So they do it. They take off their jewelry. They keep doing it. They keep showing that they're contrite. So Moshe takes his tent, goes outside of the camp, pitches out there, and anyone who wants to talk to God comes to him. And whenever Moshe would leave, they would look after him. And when the cloud would come down, so Moshe would talk from the tent. And they would see at a distance this cloud, and they would bow from their tents. Right? It's very clear that the image is that now Moshe talked to God, had to pick up his tent and take it outside of the camp. And whenever he would talk to God, the Jews would yearn for God, but from their tents, because they're looking at God at a distance. He's not there. And Moshe would speak to God directly. Then Moshe says, So Moshe pushes it a little bit farther. He says, how much can I get away with? He says, God, listen. You said that I'm supposed to take the Jews. Me, by myself, without you. But you haven't told me how you relate to people. You haven't told me your mito. You haven't told me, like, all you've said is that if you come to the Jewish people, you'll destroy them. So you have to take them. But that's it. Well, what am I supposed to do exactly? You haven't given me enough information, God. Right? You haven't given me the tools, because apparently you're still in the picture somehow, aren't you? Right? I mean, again, you don't want to be directly involved. But God, if you really want me to go and somehow you want me to channel what you want, you gotta tell me something. So if I found favor, because apparently I have, right? I'm the only one you're still talking to, right? Then please do me a favor. Tell me the way you act in this world. And then Moshe slip something in. And then, if you tell me what it is you want in this world, maybe you'll realize that they're really your people. Well, no, but that's Moshe's end goal. He says, okay, fine, my face will go, and fine. And Moshe, this time, is more direct. He says, if your faith isn't coming with us, then don't send us to Israel. Right? Don't tell me you're going to pass by. Right? Excuse me. Right? I'm not settling for that. Right? Step one, I save the Jewish people. Step two, I get them to go to Israel. But it's not without you. Right? We're not really happy with this arrangement, God. And how exactly am I going to know that we found favor in your eyes? You know, me and your people. Well, the people didn't find favor in their eyes. That's the point. But Moshe said, no, I'm not okay with that. I'm going to push this a little bit farther. You said let them do a little bit of tshuva, show regret, and we'll see where this goes. Okay, I'm testing the waters. How far is this going, God? I'm not going to Israel unless you come with me. Because I want them to be your people again. So how's that going to happen? I want us to be distinguished from all people in the land. Meaning, I want us to still be special. כמה דבר הזה אשר דיברת דרת עשה כי מצאת חיים ביניך ורחה בשם fine, you want it? Moshe, you're driving a hard bargain here, but you know what? I like you. Right? You found favor in my eyes. So fine. That's what you want? I'll give it to you. Vayomer, any other he says, okay, good. Show me your glory. Vayomer, any other Let's skip down. And what does he say to him? He says, okay, look. Go make another lucha. Wait, he says, so go make another lucha. And be ready. And then I'm going to, right, I'm going to give you a second lucha. When everyone off the mountain, right? We're gonna. You want to rebuild this relationship? Fine. What's the only way to rebuild the relationship? We're gonna do this Har Sinai thing again. But now you get the Yom Gimel Midot Arayim. And what are they doing in context? So what they're doing is, right? If we follow the statements, first Moshe said, "Don't destroy them." God said, "Fine." Then he said, "Listen, we still want to go to Israel." God said, "Fine, but with Amalek, I'm not coming." Moshe said, that's not enough. Let me know that you want us to be special. God said, fine. Moshe says, let's rebuild this relationship so that you're people again. Fine. But it's not going to be like before. Because what did God say? Why can't he come back to the Jewish people? Because if he comes back, he'll destroy them. What's the only way that Moshe can have his cake and eat it too? How can he have God come back without the Jews being destroyed? God saying, I'll come back. But I'm, well, one is precautions, the other is on new terms. On new terms. God says, I'll come back. But on new terms. Because what did I say the first time I forged a relationship with them? How did I describe myself? As an Elkanah. Poked avon avon al banim al shilachim barribayim. I am a jealous God. If a jealous God comes back, it's not going to work. So God says, I'm willing to come back. But I'm coming back. The only way it's going to work is if I change the way I relate to people. Right? That's what Moshe's end goal was. Moshe said, I want you to come back. And God says, fine. So Moshe says, how is that going to happen? And God says, look, I really like you, Moshe. And the Jews have been contrite. So I'll tell you the secret. There are two ways I relate to this world. The way I did the first time, which is Elkanah, in which case I can't come back. You want me to come back? Fine. But it's going to be different this time. And that's what he says to him. He says, Adonai, Adonai, Rachun, Nechanun, Erech, Hapayim, Rav Chesed, Behemet, Rav Chesed, Malafim, Rav Seyavon, Rav Esra, Rav Ben Akeli, Nake, Pokein, Abor, Abonim, look, I'm still angry, right? I still will punish, but I'm also merciful. And I'm Erech Hapayim. It takes time before I punish. I'm revealing myself in a new type of writ. One in which I'm merciful and I have patience.
Why is that new? Isn't that the creation of the world parallel to that?
That's exactly what Rashi says. Yeah. Right? Where does that come from though? Right? That's how Rashi opens the Torah. That, so to speak, the same thing happened at the beginning of the Torah. That God said, Bresha Aleph, I'm only Elohim, I'm only Din. Bresha Bet, I'm Hashem Elohim. Because God realized the world can't suffice in pure justice. And it's exactly, Rabbi Lipchak makes that point. That's really what's happening. Is God is pulling back here. And God's saying, fine, you want a new relationship? I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to temper my justice with mercy. And if I temper my justice with mercy, then I can come back. So Moshe says, okay, whoa. You are merciful, you have patience. So now I can ask what I really wanted. Come back! Right? You forged the break, you told us you can be merciful, good! Then come with us! So God says, fine. He says, fine, I'll do it. There's conditions, and that's the next psukim. When you go into Israel, make sure not to worship Avodah Zarah, right? Don't test God, right? Because at the end of the day, he's still a jealous God, right? Don't make covenants with the people around. This is not carte blanche, right? Just because I'm nice and patient doesn't mean you have a car, you know, you can do whatever you want, but I'll come back. And that really is the secret of Kitisa, is that it is the slow process by which Moshe goes from the impossible, which is, they don't deserve to live. Moshe says, you're right, I have nothing to say. God says, leave me alone. Moshe says, you mean don't leave you alone, okay? You can't do it, because it's against your legacy. But I will express your anger for you. And then Moshe says, okay, we've punished the sinner. Now let me see what I can get out of God. Stage two. Stage one, don't kill them. Stage two, punish them. Somewhat. Stage three, let us go into Israel. Stage four, don't abandon us while you're going to Israel. Stage five, forge a new bridge which will enable you to come with us, because now you are express yourself in merciful ways with patience. Stage six, agree to come with us. Stage seven, set out the parameters of how, despite the fact that you're not merciful, we should still act to maintain good relationship. Right? And that's Moshe's end goal, is in the end of the day to bring God back in, and he slowly does. The interesting thing, though, I'll end of this, is what was the result of all of this? Right? The result of this is very ironic, and this is something that Yoshi Farshon points out. The goal of this entire episode was for Moshe to say, let me slowly rebuild the relationship with God and the Jewish people such that God can take the Jewish people himself into Israel. What started the whole problem was the Jews having too much faith in Moshe, right, and therefore panicking and not being able to handle Moshe not being there. What was the end result of Moshe's successful defense and bringing God back into them? So, Perek Lamedalet Pasuk Kaftes. Yeah, is that Moshe's face becomes divine such that they really have to be afraid of him because they can't look at him anymore, right? And Yoshi Farshon points out that the irony of the whole thing is that it all started. The problem started because they thought Moshe was semi-divine and invested him with powers. Moshe spends his entire, this monumental feat, manages to get God to forgive the Jews' failure of ascribing divinity to Moshe that therefore led to the Egel, convinces God to come back, convinces God to be among them. The cost is that Moshe actually becomes that semi-divine figure that they can no longer approach. That's the right. The effort he put in to convince God to come back and convince them that it was justified, their mistake that they made, actually makes Moshe semi-divine. So they can't approach him anymore. He becomes unapproachable. That was really the ironic cost of the whole thing. This is Yoshi Farshon, right? Because at the end of the day, Moshe, right, his face, right, he does manage to bring God back in. But the cost was that the act of being so sort of in your face with God and managing to actually convince God raised Moshe to exactly that level that the Jews thought he was at the beginning, which created the problem.
So in the beginning, people thought he had
God. Exactly, right? And at the end of the day, he's actually, but the difference is, right, this time he's back and he's there to help facilitate God's relationship. But the irony is that it starts the way it ends, right, by rebuilding the relationship, but yes, that's exactly sort of God's punishment. This all started because you misplaced your faith in Moshe. Well, now you're not going to be able to approach him either, right? Which is sort of the ironic end of the story.
He's God.
Yeah. Anyways.